We would like to describe something of Raja Rani's Purva Raga. The Raja Gopis, from the time of their birth in Mola Vrindavan, from the very moment that they appear in this world, they are completely full of love for Krishna. Lalita, Vishakha, Chandravali, Radharani, Vajra, Padma, Bhagavidya, all the Sakis are completely, totally in love with Krishna. But that love is not manifested initially. Jiva Goswami explains that in this material world, there are some special features of Krishna's pastimes. One of those features is that Krishna appears, he takes birth here, he grows up here, and he kills demons here, and he leaves to go to Mathura and Dwarka. These are special features. So this raga, this loving attachment, is called Purva raga. Purva means prior or beginning. Before actually meeting the beloved, the love that rises in the heart. Although Krishna and Radharani and all the gopis have love eternally, they're bound in love. So as I mentioned, from the time the gopis appear, Krishna appears, in Gokul, in Rahul, that love is already there, but it's dormant. Because in Mola Vrindavan they have to grow up. So when Krishna is a young boy in his Bala Leela, 1, 2, 3 years old, and Radharani is a young girl, the gopas and the gopis, they play together. They go down to the Ramandeti in Gokul, there's also a Ramandeti there. And they play in the sand, and sometimes Krishna throws sand in the gopis' faces, and then they chase him, and they pull his dhoti from the backside. Or some gopi gets some cow dung, and she throws it in Krishna's face. This is called Bala Leela. So when the gopis are small, little girls, when Radharani's a little girl, and Krishna's a little boy in Gokul, they play together. Just like in the villages, you see, young boys and girls, they play together. But then Krishna leaves Gokul and comes to Chatikar, this is Chatikar Road. And Nanda Baba and his brothers, they set up a small village for a few years. Rishabhan Maharaj and Radharani and Sridham, Nanda Mantri, they come to Ral. Ral is the neighboring village to Chatikar. When you go to Radhakund, there is one village of Ral. So there, Radharani, Krishna and the gopis, they continue their playing. Rolling in the dirt, playing in the water, splashing water in each other, chasing, playing hide and seek. Radharani will cover her eyes and she'll count to 20. 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All the gopas will go and hide. Krishna will go and hide behind some tree and Balaram, all the gopas and all the gopis. And Radharani will open her eyes and try to find them. She's looking. And she goes behind some big tree, a big banyan tree, and Krishna's standing there. And when, as a little boy, and Radharani walks by, and Krishna goes, to frighten her, to scare her. Radharani goes, she starts crying, and she runs away. So this is the boyish and girl, the pastimes of young boys and young girls in the village. So Krishna and the gopis are playing like this. But then Krishna enters into Govinda Leela. He becomes 6 years old. And then he starts taking the cows out. And from Govinda Leela, from the age of 6 up to 10, as Krishna is growing, it's called Vyasandhi, the juncture of ages, where Krishna, he's a young boy, Radharani, he's a young girl, now they're starting to manifest their manhood and womanhood, from 6, 7, 8, 9, like this, up to Kaishore age. So now Krishna was out with the cows. Now the gopis start staying together, away from the cow boys. They start staying in their palaces and they play together. The boys and girls are no longer mingling anymore. And then later, because their innocence is starting to change. So what's happening now is that in Radharani's heart, this dormant, innate love is starting to manifest and sprout. This is called Purva Raga, the beginnings of love. So the acharyas say that this love is incited by seeing the beloved, by hearing some description of the beloved, by receiving some message, some letter from the beloved, a love letter, receiving some prasad or a garland from the beloved. In this way, there are different ways they communicate. So there are many pastimes to describe this Purva Lata, Purva Raga, Radharani. Radha and Krishna haven't met intimately yet. This is called the stage of fascination. Fascination, infatuation, and enchantment. Radharani is sometimes seeing Krishna from a distance. And when Krishna is seeing her, he's thinking, oh, do I know this girl? Have I ever played with this girl before? I feel some special attraction. So now I have collected from different shastras, from Padyavali and from different Goswami Granths, a list of pastimes illustrating Radharani's Purva Raga. So one day, Radharani went down to the Yamuna to collect some water. And when she went there, she saw a very beautiful boy who was sitting in a kadamba tree playing a flute, nonchalantly just looking at the waves of the Yamuna, just playing, minding his own business. When she saw him in the tree, she became struck. And she went back and talked to Vishaka. She said, "Hey Vishaka, I went to the Yamuna, and I saw some boy there. It was bluish in color like a rain cloud. And immediately, some attraction is woken in my heart. I feel very attracted to this boy, but I don't recognize him. I don't know who it is." And Vishaka just smiles. So this is one pastime. Just by seeing Krishna, this Purva Raga starts to awaken. She starts to feel a loving attachment rise in her heart. Now, another time, Radharani's in Chitsoli. Chitsoli is a village right near Barsana. This is the village of Chitrasakhi. So Radharani was there playing with the Sakhis, and all of a sudden, in the distance, she heard a flute, a very beautiful flute song. Was coming through Gavarman, coming through all the trees, Kadamba trees, coming through all the flower gardens. She heard this beautiful, sweet song of the flute, and her heart became captivated. And when she heard this flute song, immediately she gave her entire heart. Radharani gave her heart and her mind and her soul, everything to that flute player. She told Lalita, she said, "Who is this flute player? And my whole being is being enchanted and captivated. I give everything to this flute player. Who is it?" Then a short time later, Chitrasakhi, understanding the nature of Radharani's Purva Raga, this love, this beginnings of love is rising in her heart, she drew a beautiful painting. A beautiful painting of a boy sitting under a kadamba tree on the banks of the Yamuna. And there were some cows in the painting. Very beautiful boy. She said, "Radharani, let me give you this painting." And Chitrasakhi gave this beautiful painting of this beautiful boy. And then Radharani saw this boy in the painting of Chitrasakhi, and she said, "Oh, he's so handsome. The way he's..." As she was standing, the painting was standing. She said, "He's so handsome. He's standing in threefold bending form, Tribhuvana Lalitam. And he's a smile. There's a smile dancing on his lips. And you can just see his teeth. They look like a row of pearls. And his eyes are like the full, like the blossoming red lotus flower. Who is this boy? As soon as I see him, I give my whole heart to this boy. I'm falling in love with this boy in the painting. I'm just so attracted to this boy in this painting." And Chitrasakhi just smiled. "Yes, yes, this is very nice." Now, then Chitrasakhi says, "Oh, Radharani, look, just see. Now it's only now. It's almost 9 o'clock. Now, Govinda is coming down the road with all the cows and cowherd boys. They're going to Govardhan or Govcharanlila. Come, let's go to the rooftop of the palace to the Chandrashalika." So then Chitrasakhi takes Radharani by the hand and they run up to the rooftop of the palace and they start looking, gazing. There's long lines of cows. Thousands and thousands of Surabhi cows on one side, and thousands of buffalo. And then there's the Gopas, and there's Balaram, and finally, lying in the path behind, there's Shamsundar, Krishna, just walking like a drunken elephant. He's just walking like, he's walking like he owns the place. like he's the boss, he owns every inch of the place. He's just walking very proud, very confident, very happy, a little bit left from side to side. And then Lalita Sakhi says, "Look, see that boy? Radharani, who is that boy?" Lalita Sakhi, "I can't describe how I'm feeling by seeing it. Look at the way he walks, and his hair is bouncing on his shoulders from side to side, and he's just walking. Who is that boy?" "It's Shyam. His name is Sean. Sean. Oh, wait a second. I give my mind. I'm giving my everything, my heart, my mind, everything to the Sean who is taking out the cow. I want to live for him and die for him and give everything for him. And then we just smile. So he smiles. Yes, this is very good. So now, later then, Radharani comes down, she has some prasad with all the sakis. Then she feels very bad, and she confides, Radharani starts speaking. She says, Oh, Shankar, I don't know what to do. I want to kill myself. I want to give up my body. I want to commit suicide. Because you know, when a young girl becomes engaged with a boy, and she's going to marry one man, her mind should be fixed on that man who will be her husband. Her mind should not go anywhere. Chanchulana. And that one boy will become her husband, her pati. He's her guru pati, he's her swami, he's her everything. But me, I don't know how I can say what's on my mind, because somehow or other I've fallen in love with three different men. What's going to happen to my Ayodhama? My God, my blessed Dharma. I've been raised by my father, Ramaraj, to be chased into every one man. Oh, Saki, please help me. I've fallen in love with this flute player. And I've fallen in love with this beautiful boy in the painting. And I've fallen in love with this boy taking out the cows. Oh, Vishnu, Shiva. A thunderbolt should strike me on the head. What can I do? Please, Saki, please help me. Sakis are all smiling. Malika Saki is 27 days older than Radharani, which 27 days means a lot. Then Rasa Tattva and Prema Tattva, 27 days, she's 27 days longer in the school, so she knows more lessons. So she's smiling, and she puts her arm around Radharani, and she takes one hand and starts stroking her chin. Oh, Saki. Don't cry. Don't give up your beautiful body. Don't worry. You're the Dharma Dwaji and Braj. You're the very flag of Dharma for Braj Mundo. You're the Dharma Shiromani for Braj. Don't think about giving up your body. That flute player that your heart is calling out to and your mind is burning to have. And that man, that beautiful boy in the painting standing in Sri Bhagavad Lalitam, and that cavalier who's taking out the cows, is none other but the same person. Is that same person, Shamsundar Madhav? Govinda Namo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Namo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Namo Dharamadaveti. And Radharani says, really? Is it true? This boy in the painting, and that flute player, is that all the same? Yes. So this is her form of Raj, where she's burning in her loving attraction by seeing Krishna, by hearing his flute, and by seeing a painting of Krishna. Now one day, Purnamasi, she met with Nandi Mukhi. Nandi Mukhi is Madhavangal's sister and the granddaughter. Nandi Mukhi is the granddaughter of Purnamasi. So Purnamasi's payment would be Nandi Mukhi. Let's help Radharani fall in love with Krishna. Let's help her fall in love with Krishna. And then Nandi Mukhi says, it's too late. Radharani has already scaled a mountain of Krishna praying. She is now standing on top of a mountain of Krishna praying. What? How so? How is it possible? Listen, Purnamasi. The other day, I was in Sakhi Samaj with some other Sakhis. And Radharani was there. And the Sakhis were simply speaking about Braj. They were speaking about Braj and Nandabhava and the cows. And randomly or inadvertently, they mentioned the name of Krishna. They said, yes, Nanda was there, and he had a council meeting, and then Krishna came, and Nandabhava spelled Krishna's head. And as soon as Radharani heard the name Krishna, her hair stood on end. Tears started trickling from her eyes, and she started trembling, but she was feeling embarrassed and shy because she's not supposed to have so much love for Krishna yet. She hasn't even met him. She covered herself with her veil, And she pretended that nothing was going on, but all of the studies we saw. So you can understand that Radharani is very, very, she has very, very much fallen in love with Krishna. So this is one facet. Now another one is, and then in response to that, because this is from Vidagha Madhava, in response when Nandimukhi said that, she heard the name of Krishna and had all these ecstatic symptoms that proved that she's already fallen in love with Krishna. Purnamasi said, yes, yeah, of course. That's to be expected. Because when the holy name of Krishna enters into the courtyard of the heart and starts dancing in the courtyard of anyone, then naturally that person who has received the holy name in the courtyard of the heart, he will want to have millions of ears to hear the holy name and drink the nectar with his ears. And he wants to have millions of tongues to chant the holy name of Krishna. So it's natural that Radharani is experiencing such ecstatic symptoms of love simply by hearing the name Krishna. This verse, the famous verse, is from the Vidagha Madhava spoken by Purnamasi in relation to this pastime. Now, another way Purva Rag, this rag is stimulated or arises in Radharani's heart, is when she hears Krishna's flute, as we mentioned. So once Radharani was speaking with Vishaka, she said, hey Vishaka, what is it with this flute, song of Krishna? When Krishna's flute song is coming, this song is not producing any snow or any cold, but as soon as I hear this flute song, I start trembling and shivering as if the winter snow is falling. What is it? And what is it about this flute? It's not bringing any fire. This flute is not bringing any fire. But as soon as I hear Krishna's flute song, my heart sets on fire. It sets my heart on fire. What is this magic in this flute song? So Vishaka said, you know better than me. What did she say? So this is by hearing a flute song. And then Mukara is Radharani's grandmother. Kirtika's mother, Mukara. So Mukara was worried because Radharani was exhibiting many, many unusual symptoms of her rising love for Krishna. They were indicating that she was falling in love with Krishna. But Mukara was thinking, what's happened to my granddaughter? I think my granddaughter has a disease. She has some disease. And then I don't know what to do about it. So she went to Purnamasi. She said, oh, Purnamasi. My granddaughter, she has a disease. She's suffering from some disease, and I don't know how to cure it. I've given her different medicines. And Purnamasi says, really? Radharani has a disease? Can you explain what are the symptoms of Radharani's disease? And says, yes. As soon as Radharani sees a peacock, as soon as she sees some peacocks dancing, she faints. She sees some peacocks dancing with a fan tail feather like these good designs. She sees this peacock tail open up and she goes, and she faints. We're simply walking around our palace, and she comes by a little bush. This little bush has little white berries on it. Little red and black berries and little white berries. Little dry berries. It's called Gunja. And I'm walking with my granddaughter. And as soon as she sees this Gunja berry, she starts trembling and going, and her voice starts choking up when she sees these Gunja berries. Because as you know, these Gunja berries, these little black and red berries, and Krishna wears necklaces of these. So I think she's suffering from some disease. And then Purnamasi says, no, I don't think it's any disease. I think all the young girls and brothers have the same disease. This is called Purva Rag, falling in love with Krishna. So now, there's another another. One time Vishaka, she shows with Radharani, she says, hey Radhi, why are you so stuck on Krishna? There's so many other wonderful men in the world that are adorned with so many great qualities. They're very handsome, powerful, rich, and famous. They have vast kingdoms. And they're very powerful. They're more famous than the demigods. How have you chosen Krishna? He's been running behind the cows. He has the dust of the cow's feet are covering his face half the day. a few smudges of calabum here and there. His dhoti is sprinkled with drops of milk and yogurt. He doesn't cut a smooth profile. You know, he has a few drops of milk and yogurt on his, he has yogurt on his cheddar from his morning stealing yogurt. He has a few drops of yogurt stains. And in the evening time, he has drops of butter staining his yellow dough. I mean, drops of milk staining his dhoti from when he's milking the cows. What is this? Nice, that fuck up. And he's dressed in that fuck up. There's so many other men to choose from. And then Brother Ronnie looks at him. Vishaka, if some man doesn't wear a peacock feather, if some man, he doesn't wear a peacock feather on his head, and he doesn't press a bamshi to his lips, and he doesn't wear a gunjamal around his neck, then I don't consider that man more significant than a blade of grass. Sri Krishna Mahārāja, because these are the distinguishing characteristics of Sri Mangaladisam Shamasundara. He has gunjamala and more mukut, peacock feather, more fun. And then he has this, he's always playing the bamshi. Bamshi Hare Krishna Mahārāja. So this was, Radharani was showing very affirmatively, no other man, anyata. There's no other name for me, no other man. So these are some pastimes showing the anurag. So now, of course, it's also explained that sometimes they convey their love to each other by sending love letters. Sometimes Krishna will take a leaf from a tree, and with his fingernail, he'll scratch. There's two types of love letters. One, they're called, it's called, Kamareka. Kamareka means the love letter. Kamareka means line. Kamareka, like the lines of a love letter. So there's two kinds. There's an ordinary love letter, and then there's a special love letter. So an ordinary love letter is where Krishna takes a leaf or a twig from a tree, and he scratches it with his fingernail. He scratches it with his fingernail, and Radharani does the same thing, and simply leaves a crescent moon-shaped marking there in the leaf or that twig of a tree. And then they give it to a messenger, to a Sakya Manjari, to carry it to Krishna and to Radharani, to convey their heart. In other words, when Radharani sends that leaf with some scratch marks in it, what does that mean to Krishna? When Krishna gets a leaf, and the Manjari says, this is a love letter from Radharani, here, read it. So Krishna looks at the leaf and has a few nail scratches in it. What does that mean?
Secret.
You'll have to figure that out according to your Adhikar. According to your Adhikar, you will understand what that love letter means. Now, sometimes they send another kind of love letter. They send through Manjari, but sometimes there's no Manjari, the Sakhi's there. And Krishna sees Radharani at a distance, but he's too shy because they haven't actually met yet to go up to her. So he takes the leaf and he puts a few nail marks in it and he throws it up in the air. And then, just at that time, the wind starts blowing. Wouldn't you know it? Yoga Maya mentions perfectly. The wind starts blowing and picks up that leaf, and the leaf goes up and down and like this and like that. And the leaf goes in the air along the banks of the Yamuna. Then it goes into one kunj near Kishigad, and there, one flower bed lying in that kunj, there's one beautiful Kishori. Nitya Kishori, Prita Madhuri, Sri Radhe. She's right lying there. She's, hi, what's this? I got a sins message. It's an email. Rather, it's an original email. Or I should say, K-mail. Radharani picks up the leaf. Hey, I got a K-mail. Krishna mail. And she looks at it and she sees Krishna's nail marks. Oh, acha. And then she puts some nail marks. She goes outside the kunj and she throws it in the air. And wouldn't you know it? Just at that moment, the wind starts blowing. Now it's going the opposite direction. The wind is going from the northwest going south to north, now it's going north to south. And it goes down to Yamuna Bulin, and it goes to Deer Samir, the one kunj where Krishna is lying, resting under a banyan tree, and it lands right on Krishna's nose. This leaf. Hey, what's this leaf? Hey, wow. This must be Radharani's fingernails. So that's one letter. Now when they actually write a letter, How do they write a letter? They take a big lotus petal. Radharani will take one big lotus petal. And then she takes some java flowers, and she squeezes the java flowers and gets a red juice and starts writing, "Dear Shyam, I love you more than anyone else in the world." And then she crosses out "world" and she writes "universe." And then she crosses that "universe" and writes "all universes." And crosses that out and writes "all universes and everywhere, everywhere." She keeps crossing it out because she can't think. She has to come up with a more and more superlative word to express her loving heart. And then she takes some musk from Kasturi. She takes some Kasturi and she signs her name in black. She writes the name in red. She writes the letter above letter in red juice from a java flower. "Dear Shyam, I love you more than anything. Oh, I'm praying to Providence. Oh, Providence. Oh, Vishnu. Oh, Narayan, please make arrangements that someday I can meet this beautiful boy." And then she signs it in black. Kasturi. Thick black. This black of this Kasturi. She signs her name. Radhika. And then she gives it to one mantra and you take it and her shloka is all. So this way, by sending love letters back and forth, this is how they convey to each other the fascination in their hearts, their enchantment. It's called Purvarag. Now Krishna's thinking, so sometimes when Krishna sent a love letter back to Radharani, and when Radharani would get that letter in Varsana, she would be so happy. She would rush. Someone would say, "Radharani, there's a mail for you. And it's a letter from Nandana. It's from Nandananda." Oh. And she would grab that letter and run up to her bedroom in her palace. Open the door, lock the door. Run over to her bed and sit down so no one would see. Because if anyone in this room has ever gotten a love letter, it's not that you say, "Hey, look everybody, look at my love letter." Love letter is very confidential. Love letter is very private. It's like hearts touching hearts. This kind of love letters come out of the treasure chest of the heart, as Burijan was saying, and the treasure chest of the heart. So the treasure of her heart, Krishna sent a love letter. Then Radharani went there, she read it. "Dear Radhika, you are my very life breath. I cannot breathe without thinking of you second by second. I dream of you. I think of you every moment of the day. When I'm praying to Narayan, our family deacon Narayan, when can I meet this beautiful gopi?" So when Radharani gets this letter from Krishna, she has a pet parrot. She has a pet parrot in a golden cage. And her name is Manju Vashini. She says, "Hey Manju, listen." So then Manju, she teaches that love letter to the parrot. She teaches, "Listen, dear Radhika." Then Parrot says,
"Dear Radhika."
And she says, I can't live without you." She teaches the parrot. And the parrot says,
"I can't live without you."
"You are my very prana and life force." And the parrot says,
"You are my very prana and life force."
Now, however parrot speaks. So she teaches the parrot. And then any time of the day or night, if Radharani wakes up and she feels, "Oh, where's that boy? He's in Nandagram sleeping, and I'm in Varsana sleeping." And then she says, "Hey parrot, boy." And then the parrot starts reciting Krishna's love letter. Not only does she teach the parrot the love letter, but then she takes the love letter and she puts it into poetry, Prabhupada's poetry. And then she sings it with the accompaniment of veena and flute. This is Purvarag. She's so much attached to Krishna. So now one day, all this love is rising in their hearts. It's like a volcano submerged in the Pacific Ocean. You only see water everywhere. It's covered. You can't see the action of the subterranean boiling and bubbling of the volcano, which is not subterranean, but under the water. So now this volcano of love is boiling in Krishna's heart and boiling in Radharani's heart. So then Krishna, one day, he thought, "I must meet this Radharani." So what before this time, from the beginning of Pokhanda Lila, Krishna started taking flute lessons from Balaram. This is explained again. This is in Vidyakamada. Every day Krishna was meeting, from the time of Pokhanda Lila, he was meeting with his older brother, because all the folk was not to play flute. So he said, "Listen, Balaram, please teach him how to play the flute." So Krishna was sitting at the feet of his guru, his Vamshi guru. Balaram, and he's learning how to play the flute day by day. Then one day he thought, let me test out what I've learned. So all the power boys came from Nandagram, and they're all resting in Balakur. So Krishna came to Bhusan Sarovar. Now he's never met intimately with Radharani before, ever. Only that they've fallen in love, they're seeing each other, they're sending love letters, they're dreaming of each other, but they haven't met yet. They haven't actually met. So Krishna thought, let me try this. Let me see, put to the test what I've learned from Balaram. So Krishna took the flute and started playing. And the coward boys were resting, hey! Sounds like Krishna's flute. And they all ran and goes and said, hey, Krishna, I'll be the first to touch Krishna. No, I'll be the first to touch Krishna. Let me touch it. The Krishna said, oh, no. I didn't learn my lessons very well. I was playing mantras and songs and calling gopis, but my ragas backfired. I backfired my ragas and it didn't come out right, so all the gopis came. So then he said, oh, Radharani, or whatever he said to him. He said, listen, I'm just practicing, you go back and rest. So then Krishna tried again. Shamsu, he put the flute to his lips. He started playing the most beautiful Mala Rag. Springtime, this Rag, this is just autumn time, Mala Rag. Beautiful Rag, very enchanting and sweet. And it was going all the way from this Kusum Sarovara all the way to Varsana. Then Radharani and all the gopis heard it. And this time, Krishna, it was very particular how he was playing his flute, because he had practiced from Balaram, and he learned flute expertly, so each note he played, he called, Lalita, please come to me, Vishaka, please come to me, Radhika, please come to me. He called each and every gopi with the notes of his flute, and they all started running. Every gopi was running to Kusum Sarovara to meet Krishna, except one gopi. One gopi, as soon as she heard that flute song with her name, she fainted on the floor, dead away. All the gopis gathered around Krishna. Krishna was smiling, was happy, they were happy. There was nobody else. They could finally embrace for the first time, or even kiss for the first time. And Krishna's looking. Kodai go prema mai radhe radhe, kodai go prema mai radhe radhe, kanu mano mohini radhe radhe, kanu mano mohini radhe radhe, radhe 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 radhe. This is a song Gauri Shardas Babaji is singing in ecstasy. Kodai go prema mai. So that's what Lord Krishna said. Kodai go, kodai. Where is my Radharani? Thousands and thousands of seconds I call it with my flute. This is our first time to meet. My love is boiling in my brain. My mind is on fire. My heart is surging with waves of loving ecstasy. Kodai go renmai. Kanu mano mohini. She's bewildered my mind. I'm Kanu. She's mohini. She's mine. Mano mohini. She's stolen my mind and bewildered. Where is she? And everyone, all the seconds were so preoccupied and so maddened by this flute sound, they didn't even notice that Radharani played it on the floor. They all ran out of the room and ran out of the bedroom so fast, they flew out of the room and all of a sudden, thud, no. Radharani just falls on the floor. And Chikita, she runs, where are all the seconds going? They're all mad, they're all crazy. And she runs into a room and then she sees Radharani sprawled on the floor. She's dead. Oh my Lali. And she picked Radharani up in her arms and embraced her. She's crying and bathing with the breast milk is rushing from her breast and milk is pouring from her eyes. She's doing Ali shake to Radharani. Lali, what happened? The meter, she called, Sweet Sweetheart, call Paramasi. So they called Paramasi and Paramasi came. She's went out my door, she's faint. I think there's no breathing. So Paramasi took some cotton swabs. And she put it under the nose by the nose of Radharani. A little filament of cotton was just moving ever so slightly to indicate the slightest presence of life. There was one hair breadth of prana left in Radharani's body. One hair of prana, one speck of prana, life energy still in her body. Paramasi, what's happened? And Paramasi smiling. Yes, the inevitable has happened. just what I wanted to happen didn't happen. She said, how can I get relief from Radharani? How can I revive her? There's only one medicine for Radharani. We have to bring Nanda Nanda here, and he has to touch her. If he touches her, then she can be revived. So Purnamasi, Anishta, so many studies that came from Varsana, they came to Kusuma Sarovar. They said, Krishna, you have to come to Varsana right away. Radharani is fainted dead on the floor. You have to help her. Who? Me? I'm just a coward boy. What can I do? No, come. And they grab her by the head. Come along. Don't hesitate now. What are you doing? So then they take Krishna to Varsana, and they bring him into Radharani's bedroom. And Purnamasi said, listen, look at that. And then he sees Radharani lying on the floor. I hear him, she's not even alive. And then Krishna starts trembling. His hands start trembling, his flute falls from his, he has it tucked in his right hand side, it falls on the floor. His peacock feather drops down. It's standing straight up and just goes down like lowering the flag. And you lower the flag and the flag falls. His peacock feather just drops. It falls down. His heart is palpitating. Doom, 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 doom. Ra, ha, ra, ha, ra, ha. Like our hearts, the hearts in our bodies, they chant a mantra. Love, duh. Love, duh. You put some stethoscope on your heart and you listen, it makes a sound. A mantra. Love, duh. Love, duh. Love, duh. But Krishna's heart, well, his heart is ra, ha, ra, ha. So his heart is thumping it like this. And Purnamasi says, listen, Krishna, the only way that God can run you revive, because she is suffering from the disease of Purva Rag. She's fallen helplessly and hopelessly in love with one man. And Krishna looks innocently and says, who's that? Who could that be? Who is that? And then Purnamasi says, you. She said, she's hopelessly and helplessly fallen in love with you. So to cure her from this poor rod, you have to touch her. You have to touch her. And then Shyam said, I can't touch her. I'm a brahmachari. I'm a wife of a brahmachari. I never touched a lady. And she's a young girl. And it's in her bedroom. There's all these girls around. And my mom is not here. My mom is not here. What's the big of Dalai? My brothers, I should at least take permission from them before I do such an act of, such an adharmic act of, to break my brahmachari breath. So Purnamasi, she says, listen, if you don't touch Radharani, you should leave this world, and all the flesh will die along with it. The animals, the birds, the gopis, no one can live without Radharani. You must, it's my order to you. I am the guru. I am your guru. I am your mother's guru. I am Janani's guru. I am Nandabala's guru. I am now my guru. I am your guru. I command you. This is my guru on here. Touch Radharani. Put your hand on her forehead. And Krishna said, no, I can't do it. I won't do it. I'll touch her with my flute. And then Purnamasi said, no, you must put your hand on her forehead. So Krishna, he starts to approach, he bends down, and he starts to approach Radharani's forehead with his hand. And his hand starts shaking like an earthquake in Los Angeles. I mean, his hand is like shaking like number 10 on the scale. You know, they have these scales of measuring earthquakes. It's called Richter. Richter scale. Like number 7 means, you know, total devastation. Number 10 means everything is pariah. So his hand is shaking like number 10. And the Purnamasi, she pushes him from behind and do it, man, do it! So then Krishna touches Radharani's forehead. And when his forehead, when Krishna's palm, his lotus palm touches Radharani's forehead, it gets stuck there. It gets stuck. And all the frame of Radharani's heart rushes into Krishna's hand. And all of his hair stands on end, and he starts trembling even more, and he's perspiring, and all the dhoti becomes totally wet. And this is the first time that Radha and Krishna touched each other. Shri Vrindavan ki jai. So the acharyas explain that for the sadhakas who are in this mood of separation, this is the type of Vipralambha Bhava, Purva Raga, they have to call it, we can call it a purvarag, although it's not the raga, it's a frame of character, but we want to cultivate our attachment for Krishna because we haven't embraced Krishna yet. We haven't smelled the sweet fragrance of his body yet. We haven't felt his lotus palm on our head yet. This golden kanti's of eagerness. So by hearing about Krishna, by seeing Krishna's form, by hearing his pastimes, our hearts will become attracted. And someday Krishna will come. As he embraced Gopa Kumar, he will come and embrace us. And then our purvarag, our love before meeting this, our love should be growing in our heart more and more and more by seeing Krishna, hearing about him. It's called purvarag, the prior meeting. We should become enchanted by Krishna. We should become infatuated by Krishna. We should become totally enthralled by Krishna, enchanted. So that will stop there. Thank you very much.